Hey, what time is it, kids?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
When it's radio, it's just those words are gone. Everything we do here, it's in a vacuum.
Jeff Lutz.
I have something against most older people's ideas. They just don't have any. We're at the top of pretty much everything. And here are boomers. Hey, I got my house and my social security, and I'm good.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back. It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. We've got Wichita State head basketball coach Paul Mills coming up at 3:25. Shockers played very well in beating East Tennessee State on Saturday evening at Coke Arena. They have only one loss in the season. That one loss was a blowout loss, however, to nationally ranked Florida. So I'm curious to talk to Coach Mills to see what he thinks. They have a very interesting game coming up in their next one on the road in Chicago to face DePaul, which looks to be a team that's made a remarkable turnaround.
Have they beaten anybody
yet? We don't
really
know that yet, but we know that they only won three games all of last year, and they didn't play anybody any better. So whether they're for real or not, I don't know. But they're better than they have been, and they have a proven coach.
Yeah, we saw Missouri yesterday, a team that won like five games last year. They'd lost every game in the SEC at 0-18, and they beat Kansas. So these turnarounds can happen, A, when you have the right coach, and B, in the current environment of college basketball. So if DePaul has those boxes checked, then it might be a difficult game.
You can make the case that DePaul had its first true, real big test, although they'd beaten Duquesne out of the Atlantic 10. They'd beaten Eastern and Northern Illinois out of the MAC. But they had their big tests that happened over the weekend in Lubbock against Texas Tech. They lost that game by 14. So they weren't blown out, but they were down only one at halftime in that game. And that's a tough place to play, and Texas Tech is having a pretty good year. So I suspect DePaul will be a challenge for the Shockers. Not an insurmountable one, but a challenge.
I guess that's the evidence that we have so far, that DePaul will be a challenge.
Well, the guy coaching DePaul,
Chris Holtman.
Yeah, he's a good coach. He's got a good track record.
Yeah, he took Ohio State down a peg, though.
Well, look, he didn't take them down the pegs. They're down now. Who beat them just recently by a million?
I don't know.
You used to follow this stuff. You really did.
I did?
I feel like your interest in sports is waning. But maybe not.
My interest in Ohio State's non-conference basketball schedule, I would argue I never had much. So if
yeah,
I have
but I just, you know, I, now, why do I know this stuff? They lost to Maryland 83-59. And Maryland was up 40 in that game at one point. They've played three difficult games. Well, is Rutgers any good? I don't probably think so.
They have two of the best freshmen in the country.
Yeah, but they're 5-4, and I doubt that they're that good yet. Freshmen in this day and age doesn't mean much.
Well, when you have two top three or four picks, you should hopefully be able to develop them into something by the end of the year.
Well, we'll see. But freshmen, well, they got some good freshmen. That used to be a big deal in college sports. Not so much
anymore.
Well,
those are still the guys that are getting drafted early. You have your foreigners and you have your freshmen. Those are a lot of the
times. You're telling me Rutgers has a couple guys that are going to get drafted?
Not just drafted. They'll be in the top five probably.
And Rutgers has those guys.
Yeah. Correct.
And they're 5-4.
I don't think anyone expected a whole lot from them just because I don't know if the supporting cast around them is good. They lost.
Well, if you got two guys that are in the top five of the draft, shouldn't you be pretty good?
Well, you would think, but maybe it's
who are they?
Bailey and Harper, I believe.
You're sure they're at Rutgers?
Ace Bailey.
I think we're going to probably. I don't see any. Listen, I don't see Ace Bailey at Rutgers.
Well, maybe I've got his name wrong.
They've got a kid named Bruce Thornton, who's their leading scorer. Then they've got Devin Royal.
Maybe Bailey hasn't played yet. That could be something. And Dylan Harper.
And Dylan Harper. I see neither in their any of their stats.
Well, he's played. Dylan Harper's played 9 games.
At Rutgers.
Yeah, what were you looking at?
I was looking at Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a problem.
Well, thank goodness that saved you from the kind of humiliation I just felt.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about occasionally.
Well, they're still 5-4.
Harper's averaging well over 20 points per game.
Well, why aren't they better?
I don't know.
That's my
concern.
Can't
answer that. He's averaging 23.3. Bailey, believe it or not, and I'm going to look up his stats right now, he's averaging 18 a game. So there's 41.
Well, those are obviously good players. They may not have anything else around them.
Not much.
They started the season with 4 wins. Then they lost to Kennesaw State, beat an okay Notre Dame team in overtime, and have lost 3 straight to Alabama by only 5, Texas A&M by only 4, and then to Ohio State. So they're better than I gave them credit for. They've been in games against ranked teams.
They'll figure it out.
Maybe. Certainly got a chance.
And if they don't, oh well.
I follow the baseball winter meetings with interest. But all people ever talk about are the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers.
They're the ones making the most moves.
Phillies. The haves and the have-nots are getting more widely separated.
Guards lost Alex Cobb today, which I don't know if
Where'd he go?
Detroit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, can you believe it? Division rival now.
Well, that can't be sitting well with you.
Yeah, I don't think we'll miss him. He made like 4 starts, and 2 of them sucked.
Yeah, but just the idea of a guy going to your division rival.
Yeah, but we got a chance to hit him around a little bit. I got no love loss for Alex Cobb.
That has to irritate you a little bit. I keep waiting for the Cardinals to make a move. Now they talk like they want to keep Ryan Helsley, which I don't get.
It doesn't make sense.
He'll never be more desirable for other teams.
I agree.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
They just keep throwing. The Cardinals are in this mode where they just keep trying to pull the wool over the eyes of their fans. And I'll be so glad when John Mozeliak is gone.
Can you build a decent bullpen? Give your offense a little bit more of a chance?
I don't care about
this
year.
Run prevention? Well, that's what the Guardians thought, too.
We're trying to revamp. That's what I thought.
But if you can...
I thought this was a revamp year.
Maybe not.
Ryan Helsley's a free agent after this year. Why try to keep him?
I don't know.
I don't get it. Eric Fetty, free agent. Why keep him? You can get something for Eric Fetty. If you look at his numbers and how he ranked among starters in baseball this year, that guy's worth something.
You think they plan to keep him?
I hope not.
I'd like a chance at Eric Fetty, if you don't mind.
But you don't have anybody we want.
We don't? 5 top 100 prospects?
Well, we'll take one of them.
Nah, probably not. Doesn't seem feasible.
You can't keep Nolan Arenado. He doesn't want to be there. There's no sense in keeping him there.
Well, no one wants him, though.
Because of his contract. So you become creative. The goal is to only pay a portion of that contract and not worry too much about what you get in return.
Yeah, but you're going to have to take back a pretty significant contract.
No, you don't want to do that.
There's no one that's going to pay most of Nolan Arenado's contract.
You pay half of what he's owed, and you get it off the books. So he's owed $70 million over the next 3 years. If you make the other team pay $40 million of that over 3 years, then suddenly he becomes a fairly attractive piece.
Do you want to be paying Nolan Arenado $13 million?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Only 34. He didn't have a very good year last year, but he was a Gold Glove finalist.
He's declining offensively
a
lot.
He doesn't have to decline. You get him in a spot where he wants to be.
And where would that be?
He can't hit home runs in St. Louis.
Well, he's not going to be able to hit him in like San Francisco. I don't know where else.
He wants to be in L.A. Trade him to the Dodgers. The Dodgers don't care about money.
But they don't need Nolan Arenado either.
They don't. They could use Nolan Arenado. He's a little better than Max Muncy at third base.
I don't know that they'd share that opinion.
Then move Max Muncy to second. That's where he's better anyway.
I don't know. Maybe. Didn't they sign somebody to play second? Or
no. They signed Conforto.
Yeah, they've signed a bunch of guys.
They didn't sign anybody to play second. Then,
well, they talked about
Gavin Lux becomes a trade piece.
Yeah, they talked about moving Betts back to the outfield. Gavin Lux second.
No, they talked about moving Betts to the infield
because they got Tommy Edman.
No, because Edman can play the outfield, center field.
That's what I'm saying.
Betts isn't a center fielder.
I know. He's a right fielder.
So, yeah. They would still want to bring Teoscar Hernandez back. That would give them an outfield of Conforto, Edman, and Teoscar Hernandez. An infield of Muncy, Betts.
Rojas and Freeman.
I don't know if I thought Rojas was gone.
He's still there as far as I know.
Well, Lux would beat out Rojas.
They like Rojas. He's good.
They can like Rojas all they want.
I don't think they like Lux.
He's not going to play ahead of Lux. That's my point.
We'll see.
So I'm looking for something to happen that pertains to the team I follow. And I'll be very distraught if nothing does.
I understand. I've been there.
I want to see this revamp. I like that word better than rebuild or renovate or... We're going to revamp.
It doesn't happen like you think it's going to happen, though. I've been part of multiple revamps, and I don't know if that's necessarily what you want.
No, the Cardinals will do it differently.
How so?
This is a one-year revamp.
Then what are they going to do next year?
Then they start to try to win again.
They might. Okay, I guess.
They get some of these clowns off the payroll, like Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis. Guys you can't do anything with.
I'm with you. They're the ones who, you have a new regime coming in, so you won't be relying on the same guys that signed
right.
those terrible contracts.
I trust
and offered
this new regime until they give me a reason not to.
Shouldn't it be the opposite?
But right now, from what I can see and what I read, they're revamping their farm system to the point where I think it's going to be a real positive.
I hope it works out
for you. They're bringing guys in from the Dodgers, from the Guardians. We basically raided your team.
As you should. Pretty good organization we've had for well over two decades.
Well, you've had a good run.
Sure have.
We'll see how long it can continue.
I don't see any reason for it to stop.
Well, I don't know if it'll stop or not.
I do. That mean anything to
Might
you?
Might be over this year. You got the Bengals and the Cowboys tonight, Monday Night Football. No interest. Neither team's going to get into the playoffs.
No fantasy
Although
implications
both teams,
for you?
I beat Duda. Because of one reason.
He rested all those guys?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's pretty impressive.
Oh, my God. I had, that yesterday's really the first time I've kind of had my phone on that, whatever app that is that keeps track of our fantasy.
Sleeper.
While I'm watching the game. And
right.
It's like a pinball machine. Josh Allen's just putting up points like...
How many did he end up with? Like 70?
55.
That's it?
Well, that's a lot. That's
it
more
is,
than I've
but
ever
it seems
seen
like it should
get.
Be more than that.
He had five touchdowns.
Thought he had six.
But the Rams beat the Bills because the Rams, boy, they are scary. Their receivers are good. And Matthew Stafford is an A-list quarterback.
Hall of Famer?
Yes.
I have to think about it.
No, I don't think there's any doubt.
He did a lot of losing early on in his career.
That's because the Lions never put anything around him. Except Calvin Johnson for a while.
Yeah, one of the best ever.
But you know what I'm saying.
I get it.
I think he's really good. And watching those two guys yesterday was fun. That kind of football is highly enjoyable, even though neither defense can figure it out at all.
We don't need defense.
And it wasn't because the defense was bad. It was because the offenses were good. They were both making pinpoint throws. Receivers were making great catches. Running game had very little to do with anything, although the Rams got some.
Kyren Williams did okay.
Yeah, he did fine, especially in the first half.
Matthew Stafford's 105, 113, and 1 in his career, which, you know, he's closing in on 60,000 yards, which is obviously great. 376 touchdowns. I don't know, probably a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not probably a Hall of Famer.
Not a losing record, though?
He's a Hall of Famer.
I don't know, man, a losing record.
Kurt Warner's record.
Kurt Warner has a winning record.
Well, thanks to his years in with the Rams.
And then he did a good job with Arizona later on in his career. 67 and 49.
Yeah. I bet you can. What's Eli Manning's record?
You think he has a losing record? He's not a Hall of Famer either, I don't think.
He will be.
You think?
Yes.
Huh.
Two Super Bowls?
He was 117 and 117. Right down the middle. Don't you want more winning out of your Hall of Famers?
I want Super Bowl rings. Well, football's a different animal.
Does winning two of those when you were mediocre the rest of your career?
Yeah, football, like I said, football's a different animal. We don't necessarily judge it the way we do baseball or other
sports. Well, it's not even close.
If you can get to the promised land in football and you're a quarterback and you've done it multiple times, you're in.
Didn't Kenny Stabler, one of those guys, not in?
Huh?
Isn't one of those Raiders guys who won two not in? Is it
Daryl LaMonica?
Is that who it is?
Look it up. Don't ask me.
Thought it was Stabler.
I'm just here to.
Thing about LaMonica. Stabler's in.
Yeah, I think LaMonica. I don't think he's in. If I had to wager.
What do you think about the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Is he in?
Stabler?
LaMonica.
I wasn't looking at him. I don't know.
Well, you said, isn't there a Raiders quarterback?
Yeah, but who's the other guy that's not Stabler?
Jim Plunkett.
Yeah, he's not in.
That's three pretty good quarterbacks.
LaMonica's not in.
Well,
Stabler,
there you go.
Stabler's not in as a two-time, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. But not in.
Wish I had a quarterback like that with the Raiders
also,
now.
He also a 500 quarterback at 72 and 70.
Who's that?
Plunkett. So there's a test case for you.
Yeah, I like Plunkett.
He's fine.
Where did he play college football?
Pitt.
Wrong.
Stanford. That's pretty good.
You missed it. No, it's not good. You
missed
it.
I got it on the second turn.
You missed it.
Second try's not bad.
What was I? I had something I wanted to say.
I was going
to
ask you about the Hall of Fame in baseball, the announcement.
Well, I'm very happy for Dick Allen and Dave Parker.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I have people online saying, why'd Parker get in? He belongs with Harold Baines. What?
He kind of does.
Are you?
I love Dave Parker, but
look at his numbers.
Look at Baines' numbers. They have, like, he has more home runs. But Baines has a ton of hits, and for some reason, these Veterans Committee guys, Ozzie Smith was on the committee, Paul Molitor, there were some interesting names. Tony Perez was on the committee, and they like to put in guys with a lot of hits.
Dave Parker had 2,712 hits.
It's a lot.
Almost 1,500 RBIs. Plus, he was a good defensive player.
He had a good arm.
He was a good defensive player.
He lumbered around out there a little bit.
He wasn't the world's fastest guy, but he had 7 years where he stole double-digit bases. He was an MVP. I like his resume.
It's okay.
And Dick Allen's a no-brainer.
Should be.
And I feel bad that Ken Boyer didn't get in.
Well, how many ballots do you need to be on before it's clear that you're not a Hall of Famer?
Ken Boyer was better than Steve Garvey.
Well, the ballot was terrible. Do we really need Steve? I mean, how many times do you have to vote no on Steve Garvey?
I love Kenny Boyer. Do you know that that's one of my guys? Let's take a break. Paul Mills, Wichita State basketball, joins us next. Shockers with a little time off before a road game coming up at DePaul this weekend. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Paul Mills joins us, Wichita State basketball coach, coming off a 96-87 win over East Tennessee State on Saturday. Welcome, Paul. How's it going?
All good on this thing. Good to be here.
Thank you. I would imagine you had a good time watching that game from the bench, coaching that game, and then looking at the box score. This is kind of, I would guess, how you want the Shockers to play every game. Lots of balance in the scoring. A lot of people scored. Everybody contributed in the rebounding area. Lots of assists. Not a lot of turnovers. Pretty good performance.
Yeah, I don't think that a coach is actually ever happy. I mean, you know, you're always thinking about the areas that you could do better. You know, we need to do a much better job defensively than what we did on Saturday night, but there was some pluses. You understand that no player, no team is ever going to play a perfect game, but I'm glad we still have 4 months left in this season because we've got a lot of work to do.
How much are you willing, I guess, to sacrifice defensively to be comfortable playing at a pace like that and doing well in transition and getting quick shots that are good shots and shooting the three well? Is that a fair trade-off to you?
Well, I think that you're paying attention to shot quality. I mean, I think shot selection is probably the number one thing that coaches are responsible for. And, you know, it's not necessarily that they fall because all shots don't do that. We just have to make sure that we're taking the right ones. From the premise of your question, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I don't think you have to play fast and then sacrifice offense, their good offense, because you're not doing something right defensively. I do think that you can get back, you know, to the point that philosophically that we approach it, we are going to give up some offensive rebounds in order to make sure that we have enough people back defensively. So the trade-off of old boards versus giving up anything defensive transition is one of those trade-offs that we make. And we have work to do in that area. But for the most part, if you can make sure that your shot quality and what you're paying attention to is differentials. And you have to pay attention to the differentials. Hey, we gave up this many in transition, but we scored this much. And there is a number that you have to be comfortable with, but I honestly don't believe that the two are mutually exclusive in order to get quality shots. You may have to be behind a little bit defensively on account of the pace of the game.
Paul Mills is our guest, Wichita State men's head basketball coach. Shockers idle here for a little bit until they go to Chicago to face DePaul on Saturday. So you've rolled along here pretty well. You're 8-1, and you had that 12 to 15 minute stretch against Florida that we really haven't talked about. What happened, and how meaningful was it? How meaningful is it? How have you been able to build off of that? What's been the fallout of that, not only loss to Florida, but that 27-0 run that the Gators had?
One, Florida's really good, so I don't want to in any way, shape, or form say that they're not. They are a really good basketball team. And we tried to match their two bigs. I mean, it's 21-18 with 17 to play. We played our two bigs, Quincy Ballard and Latte, and we've never practiced that before. Corey Washington was in foul trouble. We thought that Corey's backup, Joy, was just too inexperienced to be playing in a game like that, and went to something that really, you know, I know it was game seven at the time. Really, at that particular time, we just hadn't put a lot of time in, and you could see how clunky we were offensively. From a schematic standpoint, I think if you look at it defensively, that was actually the only lineup that held them under a 1 point per possession. It was the offense. And so from an offensive standpoint, there was just no flow. So when you have 18 straight possessions, and if you look, the possession that we score, we bring back Mate in and go into an interior play in order to get a bucket to kind of break it. But I think it's one of those things that you're extremely happy that you play those kind of games, because you need to get exposed in some areas. You're by no way are you going to get your best in November, and you need to play those kind of games in order to figure out, like, this may be a hole, or this is something that we really need to address. And obviously losing Ronnie DeGray, we never anticipated really being in a situation where Mate and Quincy – well, Mate was having to play the four, Quincy the five, but that was 100% Paul Mills' fault, and Paul Mills needs to do a better job preparing his team for those kind of scenarios. It was never a scenario that we really envisioned until about 2 weeks ago after Ronnie got hurt.
So when you have as many seniors as you have on your team, and when many of them have played elsewhere, is it a challenge when they come in to not have preconceived notions about what they can be, to try to develop them even farther? Maybe they haven't yet reached their ceiling, even though they have experience. So just as an example, I don't know if this is how it went or not, but when you see Justin Hill on tape with Georgia, do you look at him and say, he can be exactly that for us? Or do you look at him and say, he's got this set of skills, we can use him in these other ways too? How does that really work?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, one, he brings a lot to the table. I mean, he was third in the SEC in assist rate, and you knew of his ability to really pass. You knew of his ability to make open shots. I mean, if you look at it right now, he's a 3-to-1 assist to turnover guy. We needed ball security and needed to be able to bring additional backcourt players in to help us provide ball security, given where we were. And it's translated pretty well. I mean, we're top 15 in the country right now. We're sitting at 13th compared to 228th a year ago. So, I mean, that right there is a jump of, you know, a good 215 points just to where you need to be. So, but you do think that you can utilize him in a different way, specifically for us. I mean, we were number two in the country last year in ball screen frequency. So we just thought that, man, the way that we play, the style at which we play, how much we utilize pick and roll, we think that he would be a huge asset here and be able to utilize him better with the players that we have. Obviously, Quincy Ballard is such a vertical threat that people have to pay attention to that specific role, man, when he's putting that much pressure on the rim, which would free your ball handler up. And we knew he had the ability to go and finish around the rim. So absolutely, I think you think that with all of your players. I would be a little disappointed if they came in with preconceived notions of thinking this is, one, how it's going to be, because your focus needs to be on getting better. And, you know, whether you're the worst player in the gym, whether you're the best player in the gym, you need to have the same mindset, and that's, I need to come out here and get better. And you definitely don't want players who think they're near their ceiling, or this is how you need to utilize me. They obviously have a skill set that we want to take advantage of. But I think the question regarding Justin Hill, the answer is both.
Final moments here with Paul Mills, who's gracious enough to join us to talk Shocker basketball. So the crowds have been slow to return. You inherited a program that had lost some of the passion from its fan base. There's no secret about that. In your estimation, Paul, what's it going to take to get that passion back so that Coke Arena is rocking the way it did in the mid-2010s and earlier than that? Is it a matter of just one loss record? Is it a matter of beating the right teams? Is it a matter of getting to the NCAA tournament? All of that?
Man, you probably have better answers than I do, but I am reminded of Truett Cathy, the owner of Chick-fil-A, when his staff came to him and was asking, who will be the first to $1 billion, us or Boston Market? And he said, guys, we're worried about the wrong things. He's like, if we get better, the market will demand that we get bigger. And you can't go anywhere nowadays without seeing a Chick-fil-A. And that's kind of my approach. Like, you know what my job is, what our job is as a team? It's to get better. And I think people want to see representation on the court. They want to see teams that are about doing the right things. And I do believe that if we get better, the market will demand that that Coke gets bigger and more people show up to the roundhouse. So I think that's our focus. We could probably spend a lot of time passing out pizza and doing things, and not to discredit any of those things because I've done them in order to get fans to the game. But we need to get better as a basketball team, and I think Wichita has a rich tradition. There's a passionate fan base, and I do believe that the better and better the Shockers get, the more competitive we get, people will show up and support. It's what people in Wichita do.
It's a pretty good answer, I got to admit, and I do miss Boston Market.
That was a good place.
I'll say that right now.
I haven't even seen one in a long time.
I know. Paul, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck as the season continues. And good luck in Chicago against an interesting DePaul team.
Yeah, gentlemen, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Paul Mills, Wichita State basketball. Interesting answer to that question. You can tell he's been asked many times before.
Yeah, that's all he can do, right?
That's
all he's in charge of.
It's a challenge. Because this team, while I think it's pretty good, I do. I said at the time, you just kind of throw that Florida game out. There's really, they had a bad stretch of minutes. They got in over their head and couldn't figure it out. I think this team's pretty good, but when are fans gonna come back?
Still want to see more
open questions.
Still want to see more out of the league. 2-9 over the weekend, with the other win was UAB over Prairie View. Memphis lost to Arkansas State. It's just
not a good loss.
We all want more.
869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. The breakfast partner of Xbox, IHOP. Their decadent French toast available to all of you. What else happened in the NFL over the weekend that caught your interest?
I don't know.
For the playoffs, aren't we?
The Rams and Lions, I watched that one. What was the early game?
The Rams didn't play.
Rams and Bills, sorry. What was the early game?
I don't remember.
I don't think I watched the early game because I was watching KU. I watched all these games, and we haven't talked about any games. This is why I don't watch games.
Well, KU, Missouri.
I watched K-State. I watched WSU. I watched KU.
Why did you watch K-State?
I hadn't seen them before. They were terrible in the second half.
Blown out at St. John's.
They were good in the first half, terrible in the second.
It's good to have St. John's back as a viable member of the college basketball world.
Yeah, it's okay.
Rick Pitino.
He is
paying homage to Lou Carnesecca with the sweater.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Thinking about going to Raw tonight, but this ticket situation's not going too well for me.
Just by yourself?
No, with my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw here. Wonder what the guys are doing right now. They're probably at the arena chilling out or at their hotel, aren't they?
Yeah, they're probably at the arena. Show starts in 2.5 hours.
Starts at 7.
3 hours for the actual television show, but dark matches and such.
What's the ticket situation?
$70 for 2 tickets.
Please tell me. Good seats?
They're pretty good. $28 for fulfillment and service fee for 2 $18 tickets. What is that?
That's how they get you.
It is how they get you. It's awful.
Just watch it on television.
I want to go see Kof.
Oh, God.
My boy, Kof.
You know, a 41-year-old man really shouldn't idolize.
We had Drew McIntyre at the station today.
Well, did you talk to him?
No.
Or did you go cower in the corner again?
I was trying to go see his segment because we had it scheduled for 7:45. So I went down there at 7:45 and he was done. It was already over. He was taking pictures with some of our people.
Well, did you go get a picture?
Of course
taken?
Not.
Why?
Because I'm not that guy.
But yet you're the guy that I want to see Kof.
Yeah, I do want to see Kof. I'd probably take a picture with Kof. Kofi Kingston.
What was Drew McIntyre like? What did he have to say?
He was good. He was good. I watched the segment later on. It was fantastic. He's good at that
in
sort
character?
Of stuff. Mostly, yeah. He's gonna crack some skulls tonight.
More and more they're in character on their media interviews.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Used to not be so much.
Well, we've had a little bit of both. We've interviewed Drew McIntyre.
What's the main event tonight?
I don't think it's been announced yet.
What could it potentially be?
Is Gunther and Finn Balor? Is that the match tonight? I don't know.
They're so focused now on getting on Netflix that...
They're not phoning it in.
Huh?
They're not phoning it in late in the year.
No, but we'll see what happens.
Seeing if we got a Raw card. Here we go. Raquel Rodriguez versus Rhea Ripley. We got a women's intercontinental tournament match.
Who's that?
Lyra Valkyria, Zelina Vega, and Ivy Nile. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods speak. Seth Rollins appears. And we have the, what are they called? The Wyatt Six.
Oh, yeah.
Against those other guys.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
You know, people in town are running into those people.
They are?
Sure, they're out for lunch. And
well, have you seen any proof of this?
No, I haven't.
I'd like to see some of that.
I know back in the day, these guys used to go out and have a few cocktails after the show. I don't know if they still do that or not, nor do I know where they'd go.
I don't know. I wonder where they have to be later this week. They don't do as many house shows, live events.
I don't know where they'd go.
I think their schedule's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
They'd probably go somewhere old town, I guess.
Perhaps, if they decide to stay in town. They probably all want to get home, though.
Well, they can't fly out of here till tomorrow.
Is that right?
We don't have
red eyes?
No. It'd be awesome if they went to the Shamrock or somewhere like that.
I'll go out and look for them for you.
I just hope they have a good crowd.
They will have a great crowd. Tickets,
they will?
Tickets are hard to come by. Like on the Selecta seat, you can't find any. So you got to go to the StubHub and whatnot.
Well, you're not going to pay 70 per, are you?
It's 70 for two.
You're not going to do that, are you?
I don't know. I'll ask my wife what she thinks.
You think she wants to?
I think she would. I don't know if she wants
to.
I told her I wanted to see Kofi, and she's like, well, should we just go see Kofi and then leave? So I don't think she wants to.
It's kind of sad that she's... That's the response you'd give your 11-year-old.
No, she's great.
No, it really is. Well, can we go see Kofi and leave?
No, that's what she said. I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, but that's what a mom would say to an 11-year-old.
Well, that's basically what we're doing.
You're the 11-year-old.
Well, I'm a guy going to watch pro wrestling. I might as well be 11 in that case.
Why didn't your friend Scotty Griffiths go with you?
I don't know that he's shown any interest in going.
Is he starting to detach a little from
starting
from pro wrestling?
I don't know what his pro wrestling viewpoints are.
That's disappointing.
I don't hear from Scotty very much.
That's very disappointing.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Scott, if you're listening, not good.
Yeah, I agree. Keep us posted.
Because I can't keep you as my expert.
I've always known more than Scotty.
But you're not going to...
You'll never take me seriously, and that's okay.
If you're not going to delve in. It's important to delve in. We'll also have a game tomorrow.
Am I on the show tomorrow?
Yes. Aren't you?
You told me.
Did you ask for Tuesday off?
Yeah, but I can come if you need me.
It's up to you.
All right.
You figure it out. I've got Duda coming. We went to the house yesterday and picked up some mints for my wife's Christmas party.
What house?
That Avery made.
Nice.
And Dia brought us a nice tin of Chex Mix.
How's that going?
Said that she heard you ate most of the good stuff, so she felt compelled to make some more for us.
Well, that was sweet of her.
It is. We both remarked how great she is, and how Jason is, you know, just okay.
Jason's wonderful.
Tell me what's wonderful.
I don't know.
He's a great guy, but is he wonderful?
He's fine. We're all just okay.
We're just doing our best. All right. I think that's about it for... Boy, we can't get that music playing. There it is. Max, right on it, Max. Thanks for listening, everyone. By the way, Duda with 40 points in fantasy. I'm sorry, in our...
I mean, I have.
32.
Not bad.
You guys were good this week. You got your... Boy, when you pick that bonus game for 10...
Sure helps.
Just think, if you'd both miss that, you would have had
12, and he'd have 12. 20.
I mean, yeah.
Thank goodness.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.